I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Among the many names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture are those which begin with the words, I am. And that very title, I am, was a title that God, Jehovah God, mentioned to Moses concerning himself. When Moses wanted to know who it was that was sending him to lead the children of Israel, he said, I am hath sent you. That's what you're to tell the people. I am hath sent me. And so when we think about the I ams of Christ, we're immediately brought face to face with the doctrine of the deity of Christ. That is to say that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. And we think of these I ams of Christ. Every one of them is greatly blessed in itself. Every one of them brings up some aspect of his person and work. And every one of them certainly sets forth for us the gospel of his grace. I am the bread of life. When you eat Christ, when you receive Christ by faith, you take him as the bread of life. He is food for your soul. He says, I am the light of the world. There's illumination in Christ. He lightens our darkness by his grace. I am the good shepherd. Of course, in Scripture, the Lord is identified as the shepherd a number of times. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, but he's also the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. Christ himself is risen, and he is the author of life, even spiritual life as well as physical life. I am the way, the truth, and the life is another wonderful title of our Lord. I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. And then there's this last name that I want us to consider. I am the door. I am the door. This is something that he introduces in the first part of John chapter 10, where he speaks of the door into the sheepfold. In verse 2, he mentions, he that entereth in by the door. Verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And again in our text, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is a very simple word. This is a very straightforward title. I am the door. Now I want us to think this evening for a time about what this name of Christ, this title of the Lord, really suggests to us. First of all, let me say, I am the door speaks to us of an exclusive position. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And we could place the emphasis on the definite article there. I am the door. He is obviously claiming here an exclusive position for himself. He's not merely saying, I'm one of the doors, or I am an option as far as doors are concerned. No, he is the door. There is but one door. Not several, not many, but only one. When I was a child in Sunday school, we used to sing a little chorus. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. The inside, the outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Now Christ is often portrayed by many in religious circles as a door. He's looked upon as a great man, a great prophet, or as one of many ways to get to God. There are folks who will tell you that other religions and other faiths have an equal claim to legitimacy. But let me tell you, friends, tonight, this is not so. This title, in common with all of the I Ams of Christ, actually sets forth what I would call the intolerance of the Christian religion. When I say the intolerance of the Christian religion, I do not mean to say that we are not tolerant of people who don't believe as we do, in the sense that we would kill them or at the point of the sword try to convert them to Christianity. This is not what we mean by intolerance. What we mean is this. Christ as a Savior will brook no rivals at all. He alone claims to be the Savior of men. There's another little children's chorus that I was fond of singing growing up, and we've taught it to other children through our ministry. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions, Jesus is the only way. No other way. No other way. No other way to go. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Now look at our text. I am the door. Now this is a reference to the door of the true church and of salvation. This is the door into the presence of God. And there are not many ways to God, let me tell you. Oh, there may be many paths that lead to the door. I'm always struck by the testimonies of God's people and that which God used to bring them to himself. Some were converted as children at their mother's knee. Some were brought to Christ through the godly influence of a Sunday school teacher. Some were brought to Christ because someone in their place of work, someone in their place of employment, witnessed to them about the Lord. Others have been brought to Christ through reading a gospel tract or a booklet or listening to a sermon. There are all sorts of different ways in which people have come up to the door. I tell you, there are many paths that lead to the door, but there is only one door. This is what was preached by the apostles in the early New Testament church. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter and John proclaimed, neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, there's an exclusivity there, isn't there? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is not one other name whereby we must be saved. Every other way, therefore, is a false way. Every other door is a door that doesn't lead to God and doesn't lead to heaven. Christ exclusively saves. This is what he's saying here. I am the door. And in that connection, I want you to note that the church is not the door. There are people who follow religiously what the church teaches. And whether that be a Reformed church or a Roman church, if you're trusting in the church, you're trusting in the wrong thing. The church cannot save you. Jesus didn't teach that the church was the way to salvation. He taught that he himself is the door. I am the door. And further, we can say the ministers of the church are not the door. Whether that be a pastor, a parson, a prelate, a priest, or a pope. And if there's any other P that you can find, none of these are able to save you. The ministers of the church are not the door. The Apostle Paul himself was a great minister of the gospel. And yet he was able to say on one occasion there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 concerning himself and another great man of God by the name of Apollos. He said, who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed? Ministers cannot save you. The church is not the door. The ministers of the church are not the door. The sacraments of the church are not the door. You will search in vain through Scripture to find that salvation is in baptism and communion. Salvation is not in confirmation. Salvation is not in church membership. If you're looking to the sacraments, to the ordinances of the church to save you, you're looking in the wrong place. And then we can say further, our works are not the door. Good works will never save you. Good works follow on from salvation. Works are the evidence of true faith, but our works are not a means of salvation. Our works are not the door. They're not even the handle to the door. Christ is the door. Again, John chapter 10 verse 1. It's very clear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. As we look through Scripture, we see wonderful pictures of Christ. We see what are called types of Christ. And one type of Christ that's a beautiful picture of his salvation is the ark that Noah built. And as you look at the story of the ark, you will find that that craft had only one door. There was one door into the ark. Reminds us of Christ. Again, there's another illustration of the Savior in the Old Testament. The tabernacle. That tabernacle that Moses was told to build. It had one entrance. There was one door into the tabernacle. Christ said, I am the door. It's an exclusive position. But it is also an expressive picture. The door. It's an expressive picture. A very simple and a very suggestive metaphor. Now, you all know what a door is. I know what a door is. A door is an entrance. It is that which is set up over an entrance or a portal. A door is a means of access from the outside to the inside of the house or from one room in the house to another. Something that we do every single day and we don't really think about it. And that is to put our hand on the handle of the door and open it and go through the door. A door is that which we step through to move from one place to another. To move from one position into another position. So when our Lord says here, I am the door, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about an entranceway. He's talking about that which is at the front that people go through to enter in to the sheepfold, or the sheep and the shepherd would go into the sheepfold through the door. When we think of this picture, it reminds us very simply that it is through Christ that we as sinners pass from our sinful position into a position of being justified before God. Christ, you see, is our way of access. Christ is our entrance. Christ is our portal. We come to God by him. He is the door. Again, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. A door conjures up the idea or the picture of the right way or the proper way to enter the house or the room. The Lord hinted at that at the first part of this chapter when he talked about those who, instead of entering by the door into the sheepfold, they climb up some other way. Now, it's not hard or difficult to go through the door. Even a child can enter by the door. We think of the words of our Savior in Matthew chapter 18, really setting forth the simplicity of the gospel. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the door. He is the right and the proper way to enter into the place where God would have us to be. Let me again emphasize that this expressive picture teaches us that Christ is not a wall to climb over. I think some preachers make it hard for poor sinners to get to the Lord. But I want you to know that Jesus is a door. The Lord Jesus is not a long corridor, nor is he a winding passageway, nor is he a maze to get lost in. Jesus is the door. Just one step and those who are outside are then inside. And oh, the simplicity of the gospel message. Romans 10 verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isaiah 45 and verse 22 is a wonderful text of scripture. It was the verse that God used in the life of the very young C.H. Spurgeon, just as a 16-year-old boy. He heard a man preaching in the pulpit of a church, and that man was not supposed to be preaching that day. Again, just showing the providence of God. I've been in that church building, by the way, in the town of Colchester, England. A little primitive Methodist church. Young Spurgeon went as a 16-year-old to hear the gospel one snowy January day. The minister who was supposed to be there preaching wasn't able to make it because of difficulties with travel through the snow. So one of the elders in that church was commandeered to give the message that day. He was not used to preaching. He was not a very able preacher. Spurgeon talked of it later. He said the poor man stuttered and stammered his way through what he had to say. And basically he just read the scripture and repeated it over and over again and then made it very personal to young Spurgeon by telling him, young man, you look very miserable and you will continue to be miserable unless you obey the words of my text. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved. And young Spurgeon said, he looked that day to Christ in such a way that he could have looked his eyes away. That day he passed from death unto life just through the simple preaching of the Word of God. Tell me, friend, have you entered in through the door into God's salvation? I am the door. It is an exclusive position. I am the door. It is an expressive picture. But in this statement, I am the door, there is an explicit period that is mentioned. Notice the tense here. Just like all the other I ams of Christ, it's not I was or I will be. It's I am the door. I am the door. Now is the time when Christ is the door to salvation. We're reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 3 and how solemn they are. From verse 7, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, that's in the Psalms, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And he goes on to say in the verses thereafter that there is no creature that is not manifest in the Lord's sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We know that there is an invitation in the gospel. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I read Hebrews 4:7, but Hebrews 3 from verse 7 teaches the same thing. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And so he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today. It's a wonderful word today, isn't it? It means now. The door of grace is open to sinners right now. They may enter in and be saved. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is it so important that the Bible speaks of today? Because tomorrow may be too late to enter in by the door. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, the scripture teaches us that there's coming a time when the door of mercy will be shut to sinners. I read of this in Luke chapter 13 in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24 and 25. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. And verse 27 records, he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There is an explicit period that is spoken of in this text. I am the door. And let me tell you tonight, friend, the door of mercy still stands open to sinners. There is still grace to be had. Our dear friend Archie Martin loved to sing solos. And one of the songs that Archie used to sing an awful lot was, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Will you come? Will you come to the cross tonight? Will you enter in through the door? And our text then sets forth in the final instance what is an extraordinary privilege. It is an extraordinary privilege. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of entrance. He is the door. But let me remind you that he's not a door to admire. He's not a door to stand and look at and to say, well, what a beautiful entrance way that is. No, he's a door which stands open for all who will enter in. You see, the door is not there as a barrier to keep men out. The door is open. There's an open door that men might enter in and be saved. And that's what the text refers to. If any man enter in. There is a wide open door to the whosoever will that will come. In the Old Testament, God made provision for those who were guilty of what was effectively manslaughter. If someone accidentally killed another person, he was referred to as a manslayer. And in order to escape any punishment for that, he could flee to one of any six cities. They were called the cities of refuge. And they're a beautiful type in themselves of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing about the cities of refuge is that they were so accessible. They were near to every part of the country. The person who ran for refuge in the city of refuge didn't really have that far to travel in any instance. But here's the thing. If he was caught before he entered in through the doorway, the gate into the city of refuge, he would perish. And we do read of some in the Old Testament. There's one in particular in the life of David the psalmist who died at the very gate of the city. He didn't enter in, and therefore he wasn't saved. There's a wide open door tonight to whosoever will come for God's salvation. And the privilege mentioned by our Lord is that of being saved. You know, that's a wonderful word. Saved by entering in and not standing outside the only door of salvation. Tell me tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? It's a great word. It's a biblical word. I think there are some, even in broadly speaking evangelicalism, who appear to be afraid to use it. There was a certain man who used to always talk about making a commitment to Christ. I want to tell you something. The word saved is a biblical word, and we should not dispense with it. Some would give the impression as well that you can never know this privilege, that you can never rejoice in the truth of this as your experience. You can never really know that you're saved. You have to wait until you die and then find out if your good works outweighed your bad works, and then you'll be allowed into heaven. But you can't know before you die that you're saved. I want to tell you that's not true. Because Jesus here said it, and I believe him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. See that? As Spurgeon used to say, our God is a God of shalls and wills, not ifs and maybes. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I tell you that saved is a wonderful biblical word, and it brings before our minds that which is not done by us, but is done by another. Let me give you an illustration. If you were to be in a small craft out on the ocean, and somehow or another that craft capsized, and you fell into the ocean and you couldn't swim, but someone who was a very strong swimmer entered the ocean and went out to you and brought you under his arm back to the shore, I'm sure and certain you wouldn't be talking about how you saved yourself. You'd be thanking that other individual for saving you. So it is with God's salvation. The word saved suggests to us something done by another and not by us. He hath saved us. This is a great Bible word. We've already quoted Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved. Again, we have it mentioned in Mark 16:16, where the Bible talks about he that believeth shall be saved. Again, you have it in Acts 16:31. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace, and that means the unmerited, undeserved favour of Almighty God to sinners. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Oh, this is a wonderful thing, to be saved. Saved from sin. Saved from the consequences of sin in a lost eternity in hell. And what a privilege it is to be saved. Look at our text. The only condition in the text is that you enter in. Isn't that right? The Lord doesn't say, I am the door, by me, if certain people with the qualifications enter in. He doesn't say, if any man who is a prepared sinner entered in. It doesn't say, if any man who feels within himself the workings of the Holy Ghost and conviction enter in. No, it says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The only condition, friend, is that you enter in. This is a wide open door. And as a minister of the gospel, it is my duty to be faithful in showing to sinful men and women and boys and girls the door. To show them the door. To preach Christ. Not to keep them waiting outside the door. But leading them to the great door of salvation. And if you're a believer in Christ, I would encourage you to encourage sinners, to exhort sinners to enter in and to be saved. And if they do, they will find a constant supply of all that they need. The Lord says in His Word that He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David said in Psalm 23. That word shepherd there literally signifies pastor or feeder. The Lord is the one who feeds me. The Lord is the one who pastors me. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the job of a shepherd with his sheep, isn't it? He leads his sheep and he feeds his sheep. So look at the text. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's what the sheep do. They find the pastures of tender grass. This is what Psalm 23 speaks of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The thought there is of pastures of tender grass. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why does the shepherd lead the sheep to lie down in pastures of tender grass? Because that's the place where they feed. He supplies all of their needs. And when you come to Christ truly and genuinely for salvation, He provides you with food and with rest for your soul. This is all set before the sinner. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, that God would give you the grace and the power to enter in while you're in time and not in eternity. I can tell you that this text sets forth for us the willingness of Christ to save sinners. Isn't this a thought that comes to the minds of many? Well, I don't think the Lord would save me. The idea is that they're either too bad for God to save, or that God would not be willing to save such a one as them. But let me remind you of what the Lord Himself said in His own word. Tremendous promise. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know what that means? There are no circumstances in which if you come to Christ as a sinner that he will turn you away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, under no circumstances, cast out. Will you not enter in today? The door is open. It's wide open. It's a door that is available to you while it is called today. Oh, that the Lord would enable you to enter in and be saved. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved. May it not be something that you just hear about from others who testify to it, but may it be something that you experience for yourself as you come and welcome to Jesus. If you're not saved tonight, it's my prayer that the Lord will save you for time and for eternity. Amen.